Kind of a song when everything's going right, and I thought, just as I caught those words in my head, I thought, I love him, I want to think of him all the day long, and that's my heart, but I don't do that. But if I did do that, and I actually did think of him all the day long, imagine the problems that would solve. Right? I mean, imagine what that would do to us if we actually did think about him. You know, oftentimes we think about him. You think about him real quick when you're in trouble. Right? I mean, then it's like, hey, I mean, you wear that phone out, right? You know, we could just go the next week just thinking about him because we want to think about him, especially with Thanksgiving coming up. So a couple announcements. I talked about last week that maybe Tuesday would be our Thanksgiving service here, but Pastor Kyle at Black Oak called me and asked if I would preach Monday, and he asked if we would bring our choir to help their choir out Monday night. So we're just going to change next week's Wednesday night service. It'll be at Monday at Black Oak at 7 o'clock. And if all the choir or anybody else that wants to join, come that night and get up there and sing with his choir and just pray for the message. So get the word out. Our Wednesday night service, we'll just move it to Monday. And this is like the fourth time I think I've preached your Thanksgiving. The idea, the reason why Kyle did that is he wanted a chance where all of us churches could come together. And I mean, we're not the only Christians in Scott County. Thank the Lord for that. We have good sister churches out there, and this is an opportunity to fellowship with them. Monday night, it'll be me and Buster Kinsley. If you remember him, he's the shorter fellow that we've had here. Real, really nice guy. I don't know who's preaching first. It'll either be me or him. And that'll be on Monday. And then, what's the date for the kids thing? On Monday the 20th at 10 o'clock? What time? At noon? All right. She's my second. So Monday at 12 o'clock, all the kids from age 12 down, we're going to say 6, but you can send them if you're 3 or 4 if they can take instructions and they don't have diapers. Okay? Because I'm not diapers and cookies that don't mix. So we're going to just spend that time. What time do you think it'll get over, man? I will let you know. But you, parents, you can drop your kids and go. Hey, grandparents, even if your grandkids don't come here and you want to invite them to that, we would love to have them. There are 2 sign-up sheets. Here's what I need for some ladies that if you know how to make a sugar cookie, if you can make, and they need to be in like Christmas shapes, okay, Christmas trees, whatever, you guys know what to do. But I need some ladies to help out and make some sugar cookies and bring them that Sunday, okay? It'll make it go a little bit easier on Monday. We don't have enough stoves to cook all of that. Maggie reminded me, hey, that was a bright idea, but you know they have to sit 2 hours before you decorate them. And I said, no, I don't know that. So that's why we're doing it this way. So we can get some ladies to help make some sugar cookies. There's a sign sheet. And if your kids are going to be a part of that or your grandkids are going to be part of that, if you'll just fill that up just so I know how many work to plan for. We'll feed them lunch. We're also going to make some Christmas ornaments. And then the next soup day, Josetta, when's that?
December the 18th.
Do we need any help with that?
We may need help with that because all the other churches have things going. We do too. So that we may need to call us and help them.
Okay, on that day, maybe what we can do with some of them, maybe we can even incorporate our caroling with that. We can maybe take some of those things out to the community and do caroling at the same time on that Saturday, even if it's in the daytime. We might make that work, you know. Like with the shut-ins, we can maybe even like if you took them out to shut-ins last time. You know, that might be something we can add into that. And then on the 17th, which would be a Friday, and then I'll make sure that it'll be set up for Saturday for what you're doing. On that Friday, December 17th, we're going to have a Christmas party for the adults over there. We'll do a white elephant gift, if you know what that is, and we'll say anything under $10. You bring a little gift, and it's just going to be a time of food and fellowship, an opportunity. We'll start it, say at 6:30. There'll be people getting off of work. We'll we'll eat in fellowship for a little bit, and there, well, I'll have somebody come and do a devotion that night, but that'll be on December 17th on a Friday, and we'll make sure everything's ready for you guys on Saturday, because Christmas is moving fast, you know, and I know it's busy, but fellowship's a good thing, and ministry's a good thing, and we're glad we can do those. Birthdays, is your daughter here? Where is she? Okay, happy birthday. You want to come up here? Hey, grab your mommy with you, okay? Because it was her birthday as well. All right, anybody else had a birthday? Come on, Morgan. Anybody else have a birthday last week or going to have one this week? Anybody else have a birthday? Did somebody, Jill said, did you have a birthday?
Next week.
Come on up here. What's it, what? Sunday?
Wednesday.
Yeah, come on up here. Huh? All right, come on up here and stand with these guys. Jordan, that was the funniest thing in the world. And I can see you say, now why'd you do that? Jordan, how old are you? How old are you? 36. Well, happy birthday. We'll let you stay there. Hey, everybody on the way out, give Jordan a happy birthday. All right, anybody else out there? Okay,
quickly, I just wanted to remind you and those people.
happened to anybody. And they started at, what's this, their second year, third year? Third year in doing that. And I tell you, you know, so Razak's going to open up their restaurant, and they're going to, it's open to anybody who can stop in there and have a meal with them on Thanksgiving, and there's no cost. But if you have somebody that you know, that, and there's a lot of older people that maybe don't have family around who aren't going to go through all the trouble of making a big Thanksgiving dinner for themselves. It'd be a really good opportunity to go by there, get a plate, and take it down there to them. And there'd be a really, I mean, listen, Thanksgiving, what we do on that day is we tell God what we're thankful for. But to just keep our family around ourselves and keep that day only to yourself kind of goes against the whole idea of being thankful. Okay? You know, so it's an opportunity. It's an easy opportunity to take advantage of that. And we're thankful for that. And, to get the word out, and if you know somebody, that just take a few minutes out of your traveling from here to here, stop by, pick up one of those pins. If you'd like to do that, but you don't know anybody to drop it off to, come see me. I can give you lots of ideas and names for that. Okay, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would go to Galatians chapter 6, we're going to just be there just for a second. We'll move on. Galatians chapter 6. Yeah. I had to stop there for a second. I was looking, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Because that's because I was in Ephesians, and of course it's not gonna make sense. All right. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come together. Lord, thank you for the time of year that's right on us. Lord, I thank you that we have so much to be thankful for in America. And Lord, that we've had access, Lord, to your word in the churches everywhere. And I just want to thank you, Father, for that. Lord, I pray to you this morning as we open your word. Lord, help us to have open hearts. Father, during this week, of course, the devil gets the best of us, and Lord, I'm just thankful that you're kind, loving, and forgiving. Lord, that everybody in this room would walk out of here holding on to one thing, and that is hope. Lord, that because of you, Lord, anything in our lives we can change, we can do better. Lord, there's people we're praying for, that there's hope. Lord, I just pray that we would apply the things that we learned today and know that hope is there. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. I need to get that. Hold on just a second. I won't stand still without this. So, in Galatians chapter 6, let's get this one. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says this, brethren, so you know he's talking to Christians. It says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now listen, look at this, all right? So I'm going to read this again. I just want you to think about what I'm reading. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why? Considering thyself. Okay? Because eventually it will come to a theater near you.
Right.
It'll visit your home. It'll visit you personally at some point or the other. Everybody in this room is going to let the Lord down. It does no good being hard on somebody else without remind yourself as you go through those feelings that you too are going to be on that side at some time or the other.
Amen.
All right, goes on to say this. Bear ye one another's burdens. Nobody should have to walk that alone. Okay? If you mess up, you shouldn't have to go it alone. There ought to be people around you, especially in a church, that's loving, caring, and forgiving. It goes on to say, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Amen.
That pretty much takes care of everybody in this room. If you think that you're never going to need forgiveness from somebody, if you think that you're never going to need help from somebody, if you think that you're never going to disappoint the Lord, you're deceiving yourself.
Amen.
It's not reality.
Right.
Okay? Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about, this is a jumping off point for this message. You ever think about, if you're here today on a Sunday, I'm trusting that you have, that if you're not saved, you're on a journey trying to figure that out. But if you're here today, I'm going to assume it's because you want to be here. Now, there might be some people that are here that had to give into oppression from a wife or a husband or a mom and a dad. But for the most part, you're here under your own power because you want to be here. And if somebody, when you got saved, I'm assuming you got saved because you wanted to get saved. You were responding to the Holy Spirit reaching out to you. You were responding to Him saying, hey, I love you. I care about you. I don't want you to go to hell. You responded to that, and nobody made you get saved. Nobody held a gun to your head. Nobody forced you to do that. It's something that you accepted because you wanted to accept it. I'm assuming that that's the case for all of us in this room, which means this, that I have to then come to this, that you have good intentions in mind. When you come to the Lord, nobody comes and gets saved and says, by the way, 5 years from now, I'm going to backslide and get into all kinds of garbage. Nobody does that because your intentions are good intentions. When you ask Jesus to save you, you have good intentions. I mean, you felt that love pulling on your heart. You were in love with Him. You were excited and happy about that He loved you and that He forgave you. And everything was new and exciting. You weren't thinking about, the slate had been wiped clean in your life. And you had good intentions going forward. You wanted to live for Him. You wanted to grow. But here's the question. Why do people with good intentions, meaning, listen, if you ask Him to save you, that means you're not an atheist. You're a believer. That you bought into the fact that Christ loved you and that you needed being saved. You felt the pressure of your sin pushing down on you. You knew you were guilty. You knew that because you were guilty, you would have to then one day pay for that. You would have to stand in front of a judge. And then you realize Jesus Christ paid that for you, so you don't have to do that. I mean, that was a good day and an exciting day. And nobody at that point thinks, well, then later, now everything should be good. But the problem is we live in a sinful body. And our best intentions are as only as good as our flesh. And our flesh will get in trouble every time. So why is it that people that mean good, that came to Christ, why is it that so many times we end up falling? Why? I mean, if Jake got saved, I have to then say, okay, he meant it. He meant it when he said, Jesus, will you forgive me? He meant it when he said, Jesus, I want to live for you. I mean, I got to believe that he meant that. And he wants to please God, and he wants to do right. But then what happens to us? So many times you look at people that say they're saved, and something comes into their life, and we look at it and go, well, look at them, look what they did. Not forgetting this one thing, but that can happen to anybody in this room. And I just want to take that as a jumping off block to try, if we can understand why people who love, let me ask this, if you love Jesus, give me an amen this morning. If you're born again and heaven's your home, give me an amen this morning. Okay? So that means that everybody in this room has the potential to do right and live for Him this week. But then why is it that during the same, some of us will get weak this week? And if you don't think you have the ability to get weak, you deceive yourself.
Right.
You can get weak. You can get discouraged. You can end up in a place where you're not safe, where your emotions are not where they need to be. And the devil can then take advantage of those emotions to where your self-esteem's not there. Or whatever the case may be, the devil will then begin to work on that. And people that mean good can end up doing things they don't want to do. If we can unravel that, get back and figure out, well, why does that happen? What can we do about good people who love God but still fall? If we can figure out how it happens, why it happens, then maybe we can limit how many times Maybe we can then build walls in those areas and that we realize, okay, this is why. And I just want to focus on three. Now, I never do this. And you're going to know, as soon as I mention this, you'll know I never do it. I got 3 points. Here they are. Rest, read, and repent. They all start with R's. Now, this will be, this, I won't do that. I mean, some guys can do that every week. You know, they get up and they'll talk about the 5 P's of Christianity and they all match. That's not me. This just happened to come to my head and I thought, I'm just going to do it that way. So let's start off, if you would, in Psalms 119 and verse 169. Psalms 119, verses 169. And I only have 3, it'll go fast, so if you stay with me, we'll hammer it out. Verse 169 of Psalms 119. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all of thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Verse 173, he's admitting he needs the hand of God. Let thine hand help me. Everybody in this room needs the hand of God during this week. You cannot go in this world alone, impossible. You'll be isolated and picked off by the enemy in a second. The strength lies in him, not in us.
Amen.
Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. The precepts are his words. I have longed for the salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. That's the second time he's acknowledged the fact that he needs help. Okay? I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Now, isn't that awesome? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, I want you to, I recognize the fact that I need you. Everybody in this room knows that you need God. It should be cognizant of that. And we need his help. Then he says this, I have gone astray. And then he makes this statement. And it says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Are you not glad that when you do go astray, the shepherd comes looking for you? I mean, that is, listen, no matter who you are, when you do go astray, and you will do that, that immediately, that enacts a heavenly Father that starts looking for you. He's not going to leave you there unless you just want to stay there. He is going to come looking for you. Why? Because he's the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Okay? So we know that that's going to happen. What are some of the things that we can do when the shepherd does bring us back into the fold and he sits us down and we're licking our wounds and we think, why do I keep doing this? Why did I do this when I know I shouldn't do that? I'm going to raise my hand. Don't raise yours. But has anybody sat here, messed up, and said, why in the world did I do that? I know I shouldn't have done that. I know it was wrong. Why did I do that? If we could figure that why out, we'd solve the world's problems. Why do I go against the Bible when I know it's nothing but a brick wall on the other end of that? Why do I neglect reading my Bible when I know it's going to make me weak? Why? You sit there and you analyze your life and you think, how could I be so incredibly stupid? How could I say that? How can I do that? How can I think that? I don't, have you ever said this? I don't even want to think that. I don't even want to do that. I didn't want to do it. Well, then you say, well, why in the world did I do it? Well, that's the whole premise of this message, trying to figure out why in the world we did do it. So, number one, guys, too busy. In the world we live in today, 200 years ago, you could not go around the clock. You know, something about in Africa, when you have no flashlight and you're in Africa and that sun goes down, let me tell you, immediately pitch black. and seeing darkness. You can walk right into each other. You know? And I come, turn your phone on. I can't see you. I mean, it is that dark. So, come 7 o'clock at night, you know where you're going to find them? At their house, around their little campfire, because you can't do anything else. It is pitch black. Now, you know what? 5 o'clock in the morning, they're up like it's Christmas. You know, I am not a 5 o'clock in the morning guy. I have been this week because I hunted every day. But I'm going to tell you something that I have come to this conclusion here in just a minute. Guys, we're so busy that we do not take the time to sit around the, I always get those two sisters mixed up. Which one sat at Jesus' feet? Mary? Okay, Martha was a busy one. All right, so you have two sisters. They're there. Jesus came for a visit. One of them is worried about all the events that are going on and then the dishes and the food. And she looks in there, and here's Mary, and she's, I can't get down like that and up again really fast anymore. But she's just sitting there, just listening to Jesus. Can you imagine the stories that Jesus could tell? You know, I mean, talk about riveting. And she's there at Jesus' feet, and she's just sitting and listening. And Martha looks at that and says, hey, can you tell my sister to get busy? She's being lazy. You know what Jesus said? He said, you're missing what she has. Guys, the reason why we're vulnerable is we do not spend quality time with the Lord. We're too busy. Life has pushed us so fast. I mean, I'm assuming you want to read your Bible, but how many of you really had quality time to read your Bible this week? Now, if you're retired, maybe that's a little bit easier than what it used to be, but when you were working, it's very difficult. I mean, the world just pushes on us and pushes on us and pushes on us that we forget to be still and know that He is God. The reason why we do things that we know we shouldn't do is because we lack that interconnection, that love and that closeness with God that can only come through time spent with Him. All right? Same way with any relationship in your life. When you were dating your wife or your husband, you spent time with them, and that then began to grow, and that love began to grow, and you begin closer and closer and closer to go. The same thing works with our relationship with the Lord. If we do not have time with God every day, if you're not just you and Him at some point, when you're not thinking about anything else, but you're just sitting there with the Lord and you're talking to Him and you're sharing it in your heart and He is a reality to you. The reason why we do things that we shouldn't do is that moment, the reality of God has been hidden by the busyness of life and it gets all messed up. But if we could just think about Him, if we could just keep Him in the forefront, and we are in control of how busy we want to be. We all say, well, I'm busy and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and running. Man was not intended to run 24 hours a day. And by the way, I won't take time. I'll just tell you about it. When he was studying on the Sabbath day, he said this. As I worked 6 days, the reason why I believe in 6 literal days of creation is because God said He did it in 6 literal days. He said, as I worked 6 days, and on the 7th day I rested. What was He doing when He did that? He said, so in the commandments, He said to honor the Sabbath and to keep it holy. It wasn't He was taking a day necessarily so He could be worshipped. That wasn't the premise of it. The premise of it was a day of rest. Rest. That then has time to then sit around somebody that you should love and somebody that should mean something to you. He said, David, on that day, I want you to rest. You've worked all week. I want you to rest. And that rest, it said, your kids weren't to work. All right, your family wasn't to work. He said, I want you to spend time with your family and with me. That's why He set it up that way.
Amen.
Because He's God and He knows our pain. You've been paid your time. Your tank can't run 7 days a week. Nobody in this room can go 7 days a week and just run. You know, you could be in the same house and be a total stranger to the people that you're with. If all you do is walk in, open the refrigerator, grab the milk, drink it, hop in the bed, roll over, don't even say hi to the person next to you, get up the next morning and say, where's my clothes? Out the door you go, and you do that day in and day in. That is not living.
Man.
That is not sharing life with somebody. That is not a relationship, and that is not a family. That's a rat race. And I don't want to be a part of a rat race. What's the sense if you live life? And more so, that rest has to be with God. You need to recharge that battery. Does the world not pull on you every day? Am I the only one in this room that gets tempted? Well, you know, every time you get tempted and you fight that temptation, you're making a withdrawal on your spiritual bank in order to fight it. You can make only so many withdrawals, then you're going to have to put something back in there again.
Amen.
You're going to have to get back around the Word. You're going to have to get back around other Christians. You're going to have to take that downtime to recharge your battery.
Amen.
Because the devil's going to be right there, going to make another deposit on it. He's going to pull energy out of you, and you're going to hit a point where there's no more left in here, and because there's no more left in here, he's going to run right over you. And then we're back to, well, why'd I do that? Well, you did it because you ran out of energy. You did it because you got away from the power source, the warmth of God, and you got out there alone and cold. And any of us can get alone and cold. And any of us can get in that point. So if we want to figure out what do we do? Man, take some time. I take this, my family's not here, I go over this in my head. How many of you think family devotions? If you think family devotions are a good thing, that families ought to have devotions together at home, give me an amen.
Amen.
Alright, now we won't do this. How many of us actually do it? How many homes this week will a dad open the Bible with their kids and say, give me 20 minutes? I want to talk to you as a family. 20 minutes, me, you, God, this house. I'm just going to sit and share with the Bible together. We all agree that that is a good idea. We all agree that that will help. But we don't put the time and effort to make sure that happens. Why? Because we're dying on the vine trying to keep up with this rat race that's pushing us 100 miles an hour, and we're forgetting that we need that warmth of each other. And if we don't have that, you'll get lonely, you'll get cold, you'll get, and then the devil can see that, and he'll pick it right off. So the number one way to keep from that, those mistakes that you're seeing, you look at me and you say, I know better, I know this was wrong, I know I shouldn't have done that, I know I shouldn't have said that, I know I shouldn't feel this way, but why is that happening? Well, the bottom line is, Dave, when's the last time you had any quality time with the Lord? 1 hour on Sunday, by the way, isn't enough to get you the whole entire week. Not enough. You're going to have way more pull on that spiritual battery than 1 hour on Sunday is going to fix. That's a beginning, but that's not the fix to it all. It's getting alongside and resting. And that's why he set that day up that way. He said, in fact, he did it with a pretty big penalty. He said, if you don't do it, you're going to get stoned. Well, why in the world do that? Because he knows how vulnerable you are if you do not have that. Jesus himself, oftentimes, what did he do? He got away from everybody else and he rested. He knew what was being pulled out of him, and he knew that he absolutely, at any cost, he sent his disciples on ahead without him. Why? Because he said, what's more important than what's going to happen is what has to happen right now. I got to get around pure holiness. I got to get around my Father. I'm in this body, and there's weakness in this body, and I need to get around the strength and power of my Heavenly Father. And he did that, him and God, just one-on-one. Just God got away, and he spent time with his Heavenly Father. And you think that you're actually going to be a better, and you wonder why. Good families break up. You know, we expect families in the world to fall apart. Our family shouldn't fall apart. Why? Because we are told that this makes a difference.
Amen.
If this doesn't make a difference, then why are we even here? We are here in hopes that we can then begin to stay on what happens to everybody else.
Amen.
I'm here because my kids get in trouble. My kids make dumb mistakes. I'm here because I believe that the Bible's got the answer to help them not do it.
Amen.
And to help myself.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so then if I believe they can, I haven't then apply them. All right? So let's go look at the next one. Go to Psalms 119 again. Go to verse. verse 161. 119, 161. It says this, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Look at how he talks about the Bible. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil. You find a really good deal at a garage sale, you tell everybody. He says, I treat the Bible like that, like I found something special. Goes on to say this, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you're in the Bible, it'll help you. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul have kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies for all my ways are before thee. Look at verse 67. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Guys, not only do we need rest, we also need to read.
Amen.
If that Bible is boring to you, I don't know how to help you when you're in trouble. Because there's nothing else out there that's going to help. Now, you can read any book you want to read, but unless it's written by God, it's not going to have the strength that the Bible has in it. And reading it without a purpose or a plan to use it is senseless. When a husband reads how to treat a wife in that Bible and it's there, apply it. And you'll be surprised that it actually does take some stress off your marriage. Wives, if you read it there, what it says about a good wife is what she's supposed to be, and you actually go out and apply that, guess what it's going to do? Going to relieve some stress off your marriage. When it talks about, hey, great peace have they which love that law, nothing shall offend. If you don't walk around offended all the time because you're worried about your feelings, you think more about other people's feelings than you do your own, guess what's going to happen? The burden's going to get lifted.
Amen.
It's going to be a whole lot easier to navigate. If you don't believe that Bible can help you, then why did you believe it to get saved? If the only time you ever stand on that word is simply to claim the fact that your sins are paid for, you haven't begun to unlock what's inside that Bible.
Right.
If it's boring to you or you find it laborious, well, then you got another issue. Right? Because it is written by a God that loves you, and it is alive. It knows where you're at. He's going to read. You don't need what I need on Monday. You need what you need on Monday. And he's going to make sure you get it. But you got to open it, and you got to get in it, and you got to absorb it, and you got to think it, and you got to memorize it. You got to hide it in your heart.
Amen.
And you wonder, why do I do things that I know I shouldn't do? It's because we're not reading and applying what we ought to do. So, of course, we're not going to be able to sustain that. What did Jesus do? 280-some times he quoted the Old Testament. 280-some times. You know what he did? He used the Bible.
Amen.
He used the Bible to defeat the devil. He used the Bible to defeat the scoffers. He used the Bible to defeat the doubters in his life. He used the Bible. He used the Word of God against the enemy of God. He used that to say, hey, I am loved. I am somebody's best. The devil say, no, you deserve better. Listen, I am so tired. If I hear one more time somebody tell me, well, I just need to be happy, my head's going to explode. Do you understand you don't deserve to be happy? You deserve to die and go to hell. Happiness is extra. And it comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And don't choose happiness instead of obeying Him.
Right. Amen.
Because you're not going to find happiness. You're going to be unhappy. Alright? So in your quest to be happy, you're going to be unhappy. Happiness isn't a job. Happiness isn't a promotion. It's not money. It's not things. Happiness comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And then it comes from reading the Bible. It comes from then applying the Word of God. But if you wonder, well, why does this happen? Then you have to say, am I really invested in this Bible? Is this Bible embedded in me? And do I live by this Bible? What you read there is somebody who says, that when I find the things in this Bible is better than great spoil. In other words, if I found $1 million on the road, that would be a great find. But he says that reading the Bible and the precepts in it are
are worth more than $1 million. Do you believe that? Well, look, if it saves your marriage, absolutely. If it keeps your kids,
you know, listen, I'm a pastor. I've raised 3 kids, and I'm still raising 2 more. And I wish I could tell you every kid I have is doing right. They're not. I got one that's in a dark place. And man, I looked at that Bible 100 times and thought, this isn't supposed to happen to somebody who grew up in Sunday school. He's not supposed to think where he's at because he was surrounded by everything that could help him. Why is he not applying? Because I have to believe that if he's still applying, it'll help him. But there's power in it and there's strength in it. And I don't want to lose any more kids. I don't want you to lose any kids. I don't want any more heart. I don't want any more disappointment in my own life, in my walk with the Lord. I don't want. So you know what it comes back to? I got to get back in that word. And that's got to be a primary thing in my life every day. It's supposed to keep me safe. It's supposed to be the thing that gives me the edge that the world doesn't have. It doesn't do any good to say, hey, I trust in God, but then not trust the Bible.
Amen.
You can't ask him to save you, but then not live the way he asks you to live. That's part of the equation.
Amen.
It's not just get saved and everything's going to be okay. It's get saved, love what I love, honor what I honor, obey what I ask you to obey. I know where the enemy lives. I know who he is. I can keep you safe. I can't keep you safe if you don't believe it. If you don't make it important, I can't make you make it important.
Amen.
And then what happens? Bad decisions. Bad decisions lead to another bad decision. Okay? And then Christians that listen, I can remember the day my son got saved. And to this day, I still believe he does know the Lord. I can remember listening to him tell me about Bible stories. Now, how can a kid do that? It's so dark. So far away from the Lord and so cold. And the reason why I'm preaching this message is because I want to figure it out. Well, I don't want to happen to anybody else. No more. Not when we got the answer. Nobody else has to be sick. Nobody else has to be cold. Nobody has to ever walk alone. That's not necessary. No more broken homes. It's not necessary. Why? Because I was taught that can fix anything.
Amen.
Right? Wait, is that still true? Can that Bible fix anything?
Amen.
Two people come together around that Bible. You can fix anything.
Amen.
Any prodigal can come home. Amen. Any person can get out of any ditch the devil drags you.
Amen.
You can get out of it.
Yes, sir.
Because of that book. But unless we get around that book, unless we apply that book, and when you do fail, you know, don't blame everybody else. Look and say, okay, I'm not resting. I'm not reading. And here's the last one. I got the last one. Quick. I'm going to touch it and I'll finish it tonight. But I want you to go to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, and we'll end there. 1 John 1:9. Any of us, you can probably quote that. And there's other verses I go down, I don't have time to look at. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at verse 8. You know, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So again, this is talking to people that are saved. If we say that we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves. Okay? So everybody in this room has sinned. If we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive it. The word confess is different from the word repent. We're going to look at that tonight. The word confess is this. It's to own up to it. Right?
Yeah.
To confess it. To let it come out of your mouth. To let God hear you say, I'm in trouble. I did this week. I thought that this week. I felt that this week, and I need to tell somebody. You cannot keep it bottled up. It will eventually affect everything. And you don't necessarily have, now, I really think it's a good thing if you bought a married where you there. That woman right there, I should tell you, my wonderful wife. I'm that woman right there. I'm in trouble with that. My wife, there isn't a secret one that I have that you don't know about. Some of them, not exactly proud moments in my life. I mean, all the way back when I was a kid. And I'm thankful that I've got somebody that I can do that with. That is not going to judge me. No secrets. Remember, there's a secret in my life she don't know about. Do you know that? So I don't need to know about it. Your wife or your husband doesn't even really need to know about it. You know who absolutely needs to know about it? God. So you say, well, Dave, you already know. Yes, but guess what? Not that it's an actual Bible verse, but it goes on without saying. Confession is what? Good for the soul. You know what it does? Makes you deal with reality. When you say, hey, David said this, I have sinned and I've done evil in thy sight. It made him face reality with God.
Yep.
All right? And by the way, if you confess of a thought, it's just as bad as doing it, but it keeps you, oftentimes it'll keep you from doing it. If you confess with that thought, if you just sit down and say, God, I thought this today, and that was a wicked thing, I shouldn't think that. God, I felt that this day. You know, you say, well, he already knows, but you know what's something different about sitting down next to God and saying, God, I just got to get this off my chest. Man, I'm sorry. You know, tell me your problem. Say, I did this week. Dad, will you forgive me? You know what he says he'll do? He's faithful and just to forgive me. Now, are we not taught? Now, what if you forget to ask God forgiveness and you get hit by a bus? Are you going to go to hell? No, because that sin is covered. So, is this confession for him or is it for you? Not for him, boy, he already forgave you. And was your sin not covered on Calvary's cross? Past, present? Well, we're not taught that. We're not taught that you can lose your salvation. We're not taught that, man, if you go out and you do something really bad and you don't ask forgiveness, you're going to die and go to hell. That's not what that Bible teaches.
Amen.
That confession's not for him, it's for you.
Amen.
You need to confess it.
Amen.
You need to get it off of your chest. You need to come in reality and say, this is where I'm at. As long, now listen, what happens if days and days go by and you don't confess it? He doesn't unsave you, but what happens is you begin to live in that altar in that world, and it's just going to drag you down a deeper road. But I tell you what, if you just stop a minute and say, okay, I can't be fake another day. I cannot be fake another day. I am guilty of this. And you know what it says? Your Heavenly Father, he will forgive you. You're not asking him. He's already forgiven you. It's that relationship. It's that. I can't freely talk to God like I need to talk to God if I'm not living the way I need to live. So I need to confess that I'm not where. It'll never be this. God, you're not where I need you to be. Wrong. It'll always be this. God, I'm not where I need to be. And I'm admitting that. And I'm confessing that, and I'm asking that for your help. I'm asking, I know you're going to give that forgiveness to me, whether I ask it or not, but I'm asking for that forgiveness. I am acknowledging that I did something that has hurt you. I don't want it to affect my relationship with you. It's affecting that relationship. I want to confess that. Now listen. Anybody that's ever done that, had to go to a spouse or a friend or a kid or whatever. I mean, you know what's really, really a painful thing? Is my kids listen to me preach, and I forget that they are now on the ability to understand things. And they'll come up and they'll say, Dad, did you really do that? Dad, did you really steal a road sign, the flashy ones, and stick it in the back of your truck and put it in your neighbor's yard? Yes. By the way, you can't shut those lights off. I promise. Blinking all the way down the highway. And you think, did you really do that? Yes, I really did do that. And all of a sudden, I did. That's terrible. That's a terrible thing. Then in that moment, I stop and I say, now look for them. That's why you don't get into this, because stupid will take you down. You know, that's no good to hide. God already knows I'm a sinner. I mean, you should already know that everybody in this room is a sinner. Do you know how much healthier we would be if I honestly felt like I could come to you and say, hey, would you pray for me? I got a drinking problem. Would you pray for me? Instead of going, well, wait until the whole world knows it's got that Helen Baptist Church, pastor's got a drinking problem. You know, which I don't have a drinking problem. Oh my word, this now is gonna be all over the place. I do not have a drinking problem. This is an illustration, alright? Okay, so if I were to do that, I mean the thing is we would never do that. Why? Because worried about I can tell you right there, there's somebody that I could bear my soul to. And there's other people in this room that I can bear my soul to, because I know that they also know who they are. And then that opportunity of just having somebody else come to you and say, hey man, hey David, it's okay. Here's my phone number. Next time that gets the best of you, call me, man. I'll come find you wherever you're at. Nobody, too many people are drowning, and you don't need to do that. There's people that would help. Number one, God would help. And there are people out there that do care about you,
man,
that would help.
Man.
They aren't going to do it in the judgmental way. They're not going to do it in the self-righteous way. They're going to do it simply in a way to understand. I have spent plenty of time on the other side, and I know what it's like to need somebody to help you. And those three things, if we would just apply those three things, maybe we could get ahead of good people with good intentions doing things that we shouldn't do. Maybe we just need to rest and spend quality time or slow down this week. Get around the Lord. Maybe your schedule fit his schedule. Maybe we need to read, get in the Bible, and say, if this is the magic book, I hate to use that word, but if this book is supposed to solve the world's problems, why do I still have problems? Well, it'll always be because you're not living this. We got to get back to that.
Amen.
And then we just need to speak and repent. And the first part of that is you can't repent of something you're not admitting. How are you going to repent if you can't confess? And if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive.
Amen.
Let's stand if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I told you, and right on 12. So we've got time for an invitation. And you know, there's a reason why I try to be as transparent even with my own family, but I don't think there's any value in ignoring the obvious. Man, my heart breaks because I know me, and I know where I would be if I didn't have the Lord. What you see is not perfect. What you see is me trying. Man, I've been just trying, guys. And I know the pain of a parent who has a child that's not where they need to be. I know that in my head, I sat down and asked Maggie, what in the world did we do wrong? I do not understand this. But I have to believe that there's still hope in this Bible. And then there's not a week that goes by that you don't hear, well, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? Did you hear this? Did you hear that? Did you hear this? Did you hear that? Other pastors, other places, other churches. And these are all good people that love the Lord. They just got out by themselves. They got cold. They didn't take that time to rest. And man, we need to rest, guys. This world's driving us 100 miles an hour, and it's hurting us. Man, we need to, we're not going to go back to stoning you on the Sabbath, but you know what you need to do? Make today about church and family. I do not think that's a bad thing. I think that you did the first part, you're in church. So then go make it meaningful with your family today. Get around and rest together. Talk about what you learned about. Spend some downtime a little bit so you can recharge the battery, because Monday's coming and the devil will be there to wear you out. And don't forget to pray. But maybe we just need to take a moment this morning to also look about that confession. And you say, well, man, I'm not going to go to that altar to talk about confession. It really doesn't matter whether you know it or not. God already does. And we've already discussed this. Nobody in this room can say you don't have something you need to confess. That's it. But it's whether or not you want to spend one more week being vulnerable, or maybe actually try to get a hold of the problem and work on these three things. And certainly, if you hear any, don't tell the Lord. none of these apply unless you've got that relationship. And maybe you need to start out by, maybe this is the day you need to trust God. But God spoke your heart this morning. You come to the same place.